We're not getting paid. That's what some angry FAA engineers want to tell any lawmakers left in Washington today. 4,000 FAA employees, including engineers, are furloughed. Dozens are reportedly working without pay. And 70,000 contract workers, including construction crews, are also out of work at airports across the country because of the partial shutdown of the FAA. And most astonishing, while the battle in Congress over extending funding for the FAA is partly over the $16 million a year in subsidies paid to airlines that travel to rural airports, the furloughs mean the agency is not collecting over $28 million a day in tax revenues. A battle over $16 million a year is losing the government over $28 million a day. Mary Jane Kujura is aviation reporter for Bloomberg News. Mary Jane, the House passed a funding bill with a cut in subsidies, but the Senate adjourned without a vote?
That's right. The Senate went to the 11th hour. They tried again even after some members left for their summer recess, and they just couldn't get a deal hashed out.
Well, Florida Republican Congressman John Mica put the subsidy cuts in the House vote. He says he's one of those against paying airlines, sometimes thousands per passenger, to fly to these out-of-the-way airports. Those in favor of the subsidies say in many areas these passengers would have to drive hours to get to an airport. But Mike admits that he put that funding cut in and try to force negotiation over a bigger issue that's attached to the funding. Explain the labor issue.
So for the past 70 years in the airline and railroad industry, if there was a vote to try to unionize workers, if you didn't cast that vote, it was automatically counted as a no vote. That changed last year in such that the votes that counted were a percentage of the total votes cast. So hypothetically, a smaller group of people could determine whether or not a much larger population unionized or didn't.
And Democrats inserted this change, pretty much saying that if somebody doesn't show up to vote for unionization or against unionization, if they just don't vote, you can't count that vote as anything. In other words, it would be the way it is in a general election.
That's right. It would be the way it is in a general election. However, Delta's position was the old rules had been in place for 70 years, and now all of a sudden they were changing mid-election right before a couple of really big important elections were happening at Delta in the wake of its merger with Northwest.
And you bring up a point that Senator Harry Reid makes. He blames Delta Airlines for this impasse. So Delta obviously has been lobbying on this as well.
Yeah, and Delta would say that's not fair. Delta was very vocal on the labor piece behind the scenes. They very clearly wanted that language changed back. Other airlines had a stake in this as well. FedEx was on Delta's side. They're a non-union company for the most part, and they do not want their workers to unionize either. So the airline industry in general also supported Delta's position. They were just the poster child.
So this is really a battle over labor. And as you said, whether or not when a vote to unionize comes up, you can count people who don't vote as no votes, which, again, is just counter to how most elections go. But in any event, that brings us to the money that's being lost. As we said, almost $30 million every day. This was tax money that used to be collected by these now furloughed FAA workers. Tell us, what happened to the tax money?
If your hypothetical average domestic ticket costs $240, for example, there was another $40 or so in taxes and fees laid on top of that. When the FAA had its partial shutdown, it lost its authority to collect those taxes. And what the airlines did, it was very interesting. Immediately, the airlines as a group collectively raised the base fare amount by about $40 or $50 or so for most domestic tickets and pocketed the difference. I mean, it was essentially the biggest fare increase that stuck in many, many years.
So the money that the government used to charge in taxes on your ticket, the airlines now converted into your ticket price.
Right, into the base fare, and they're keeping that difference. And the airlines would say, we need the money to cover fuel. The summer is when they make money, and then they usually lose money into the winter. The price is stuck. The airlines would say the overall ticket price hasn't changed at all.
What are the chances of when this is resolved, and it's going to have to be resolved at some point, one would assume, some sort of temporary funding? Will the airlines then lower the prices back down or just put the taxes on top of their raised ticket prices?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question right now, and nobody quite knows. It's an absolute coin toss right now. Nobody knows.
And how does it? What is the sense that even the short-term problem might get fixed soon? Isn't Congress on vacation?
Yes, Congress is on recess until the first week of September. They report back September 6th. The first voting couldn't happen till the 7th. It seems unlikely that they'll go through. They could basically meet by phone and do a unanimous agreement in the meantime. That seems extremely unlikely. We're probably not going to be seeing the FAA collect taxes again until September at the earliest.
And these are the same lawmakers, many of them, screaming for spending cuts. You don't think they're going to feel forced to react to the fact that almost $28 million a day is being lost?
They haven't yet, and they went on vacation before resolving it. As one airline executive pointed out to me yesterday, last summer Congress went home for their break. They got beat up in their home districts on the health care situation. They came back a little bruised and then got to work and hashed something out. We may see the same thing happen with the airlines. It's a little hard to tell how much voter outrage or animosity or shock there might be when these congressmen go back to their home districts for the summer.
Mary Jane Crigiora, aviation reporter for Bloomberg News, thanks so much.
Thanks very much.